I've been through a lot of life transitions, and I don't think I'm alone in this. And during a recent one, I was working very hard at feeling grounded again. At times in my life, I felt a bit lost or disconnected to my place in this world. This idea of place is different for me than the concept of community or the concept of home. I'm lucky enough to have felt incredibly connected to this fellowship community for the past 15 years, and I've always worked hard at creating a home for myself and for Nate, no matter where we lived. But place is bigger, more expansive in some ways. This question really came up for me after reading two books back to back, one by bell hooks called Belonging, A Culture of Place, and one by Wendell Berry called Our Only World. Both Hooks and Berry consider their place to be the state of Kentucky, but have experienced that state in very different ways. Hooks writes, "Searching for a place to belong, I make a list of what I will need to create firm ground. At the top of the list, I write, I need to live where I can walk. I will establish my presence as one who is claiming the earth, creating a sense of belonging, a culture of place." So this is how Hooks has created place for her. And it made me think about how I and others create place. Is my place the state of Wisconsin, where I've lived my entire life? The Midwest, where I feel pretty comfortable within this culture? Or something else? In thinking about the many life stages that I've been through, I've tried to find a connecting thread and realize that the way I feel connected to my place is through trees, as I mentioned in the Wonder Box. So let me tell you a bit of my story. I was born in Kenosha, Wisconsin. I lived it there until I was in fifth grade. My parents divorced when I was young, and it wasn't an easy divorce, to put it mildly. I lived on a dead-end road in the middle of cornfields and had a lot of freedom to explore. My friends and I would spend every minute that we could outside. One of my favorite places to go was in the wild fields off the back of that dead-end road and climb the apple and pear trees. I felt protected and hidden. I would have lived in those trees if I could have. Those trees were my place of comfort when the adults around me were not able to provide it. I was lucky enough to have grandparents who owned a cottage in Eagle River, and I spent hours walking in the woods and near the water. I loved the peace and the pace of the North Woods. The moment we hit those winding roads, I felt like my soul had come home. My grandparents allowed me to have a childhood when my parents were fighting more with each other than taking care of me. I moved to Wausau in fifth grade, and in thinking back, I realized that I spent more time inside here than I had in my earlier life. And I think that really affected how I connected. And while I love the beauty of the natural spaces in the area, I don't feel much of a connection to Wausau, even though I spent 8 very formative years there. Those years were hard, trying to maintain a relationship with my dad from a distance, spending a lot of time in the summers with him rather than with my friends, and middle school, or junior high as we called it, is just always hard. I didn't have what I needed to feed my spirit, nature. We lived in a normal neighborhood, and there just weren't a lot of opportunities to get outside. Then I went to UW Oshkosh for college, which is where I met Brian. We, along with other friends, took walks almost every day. We would study outside, and there was a particular tree near Breeze Hall, the residence hall that I lived, that I absolutely loved. I was able to start to reconnect to what fed my spirit, though I would not have been able to name it at that time, which means I didn't seek it out when I truly needed it. Because that's an important part of our spirituality. We need to identify what is meaningful to us in order to be able to incorporate it into our lives. I had not been taught why spiritual practice is so important, that we practice what fills us, where we find meaning, so that when we really need it, it is there as a comfort and a place of healing. Finding the fellowship and belonging to this community has helped me find my spiritual identity and helped me evolve. It was at the UU 101 class that I took as a visitor in 2004 that when asked to draw my spiritual path, I drew a tree. I didn't yet have the language for why that was meaningful for me, but that's what came to me. I have used that image ever since in the many classes that I've helped lead because it's the perfect analogy for me. When I was looking for the images that I'm sharing with you today, I kept finding pictures of trees because wherever I go, I pay a lot of attention to them. So these trees are from San Diego, San Francisco, London, and of course, here in the Fox Valley. I've moved a lot in the last several years. Like I said earlier, I was feeling ungrounded, unmoored, until I realized what I needed. So like I mentioned in the Wonder Box, my tree friend, Toby the Willow, helped me feel grounded again. And now I look not just for trees to admire, but I look for more tree friends wherever I go. High Cliff, the park, everywhere. Their energy centers me and lifts me in ways that nothing else does. I've learned recently just how apt this metaphor is, as trees are incredibly community-oriented. In the book, The Hidden Life of Trees, the author, who has spent over 20 years working for the Forestry Commission in Germany, explains that research has proven that trees of the same species growing in the same stand are connected to each other through their root system. Forests are superorganisms with interconnections like ant colonies. Plants, including trees, are capable of distinguishing their own roots from the roots of other species, and even from related individuals. They are social beings, and the advantage to working together is that many trees create an ecosystem that moderates temperatures, stores great amounts of water, and generates needed humidity. Each tree is considered valuable to the community and worth keeping as long as possible. Surrounding trees pump nutrients even to important stumps to keep them alive. When one tree is damaged, that tree warns others so that they can fight the intrusion off. For example, and I think this is really cool, if a giraffe starts eating leaves off an undisturbed stand of an acacia tree in Africa, trees of the same species will all pump toxic substances to their leaves, so the giraffes move on without damaging more of that particular tree stand. Trees will also synchronize their performance so all are equally successful, which is like a social security system. Their well-being depends on their community. When a supposedly feeble tree disappears, the others lose too. So when I connect to a tree, I connect to an entire community, a community formed in a kind of love for the well-being of all, something that is so much bigger and older and wiser than I could ever dream of being. I have that same connection to this fellowship community, of course, and I feel like we, for the most part, do a good job of creating that same kind of ecosystem. I've never lived outside of Wisconsin, and while I have lived in many homes, most of them were here in the Fox Valley area. I've been lucky enough to travel to several places, and I do love to travel. I hope to do so for the rest of my life. But I find myself comparing and thinking about what I like more about this area. Sometimes the friendliness isn't quite the same, or sometimes it's missing Wisconsin nature. For example, I loved the mountains of Colorado, but I missed bodies of water. I love the energy of big cities, but I miss seeing the stars at night. Knowing trees won't fit into everyone's way of finding place, I reached out and asked some people to find out how they would define it for themselves. One person wrote that for me, the fellowship has been an important place for almost 20 years. When I'm going through big changes, I gain strength and hope from attending services and participating. My roots have grown strong here, and I find that the more I do, the more I'm connected, the more I want to come. This is the place for me to be myself. I'm able to leave all of the masks at home and just be me. I can't do that anywhere else in my life. That's big for me, when I can let my soul shine brightly, not hidden, fully seen by all, and I'm proud of who's shining through. Another person wrote, "For me, place is about two things, the people in that place and the vibe in that place. Together, we light up the world. If we let our flame darken, the world suffers. As such, creatively speaking, we are all an essential component of this living web. Place for me is sacred, as it is where community happens, and without community, I am lost. Community to me is the essence of the word God. When I have felt like I've lost my identity, I still had community, and with the help of the places of my community, I was able to find my way back to me. Thanks to my community, I have found my place, my voice, my sense of self as part of the whole." And one last example. "In my current home and relationships, I no longer experience intentional harm and feel at ease to behave as freely as I would. I feel no restrictions that I would suffer judgment and criticism from my loved ones. My place of belonging requires loving behaviors from its other occupants, the qualities of kindness, compassion, and empathy. My thanks who are willing to share part of their story with us today." I acknowledge that the ease of which I have found place in my life has a lot to do with the privilege that I have. I was lucky enough to be born to United States citizens in Wisconsin at a time when being female gave me many rights I would not have had at another time in history. I was born to a middle-class family, which allowed me to understand that culture and feel comfortable in most settings. Recently, this really hit home for me. I was walking down College Avenue with a few others, protesting the separation of children at the border and chanting, "No hate, no fear. Refugees are welcome here." I felt safe and pretty comfortable, even though there are plenty of people who disagree with me. While I know perfectly well that no matter where I am not necessarily safe, and being a woman, there are times and places of the day when I don't feel safe, that day, I knew that space, and I felt like I belonged there. We may have had a few people yell at us, but I never felt unsafe. Many people feel unsafe every day of their lives, and all they're doing is living their lives and not protesting a contentious issue. When I spend time with people of color, I often hear them be asked, "Where are you from?" They often have lived in this area longer than I have, but I've never been asked that question. What does that say to a person? It says, "You are different. You are an outsider. I want to put you in a box labeled Chicago or Milwaukee." It invalidates any possible connection to this shared place. It creates isolation. I recently heard John Powell speak on a podcast saying that the human condition is one about belonging. We simply cannot thrive unless we are in a relationship. If you are isolated, the negative health condition is worse than smoking, obesity, and high blood pressure. Americans are more isolated than ever, and that isolation doesn't just include from people, but I would argue that it's also an isolation of place. So you may be wondering how my normal spiel of welcome fits into all of this. Thank you for asking that important question. We pay attention to the questions we ask people when they come. So let's not ask them, "Where are you from?" as if they're from someplace else and so don't belong here. I urge you to look for people you don't know. Approach them and ask, just ask that, "I don't believe we've met." These are magical words that work every time. It opens up conversation. Find out a bit of their story and share some of yours, whether it be about the fellowship or what's meaningful in your life. Be a witness to each other's stories. Our ministers model this in sermons, and we get to take it to the next step and talk to each other. This coming program year's overall theme is connection. We will have new opportunities to connect to others through our brand new Saturday programs, our engagement team opportunities, and the dozens of groups and activities that we always have throughout the year. And if you're not sure how to do that, contact me. Remember, we strive to accept everyone walking through our doors as the person they are, knowing that the fellowship may change them in some way, a positive one if we do it well. And we also know that the fellowship community will change with them here. If we don't evolve and change with new people and new ideas, we get stagnant and, truthfully, boring. This is, of course, the interdependent web that we lift up in our seventh Unitarian Universalist principle. This is how we can help people belong here and help create place that they may be looking for.